Hey, it is so great to be here again. And if you are new here, you are so welcome. I was just discussing with a couple that just came in for the first time today in the 8 a.m. They were like, we just feel like it's family here. And I'm like, that's how Beck and I felt for the last year being here. You know, this community, we just love people. I could genuinely do. Like, it's funny. You can have people say, we just love people. And then you feel like it's like stone cold, you know? It's almost like the pastor's trying to force blood out of a stone. But I don't feel that here. I just feel like God is here and people experience the love of Jesus and they just show it. They show it wherever they go. And was so encouraging this morning at the 8 meeting this couple, and they were just like, we have not felt at home for well over a decade and we've been here. We're just coming back next week. And I was just like, well done. Yeah, you guys are amazing. And the other great thing I love about this church is we just don't shy away from just opening the Word of God. Right, and today we're actually going to open the scripture again, and I'm going to tackle the scripture that can be quite confusing, and my heart is that you'll just get clarity around this passage of scripture, that you'll walk away and you'll have a new revelation of who Jesus is. And over the last few weeks, we've been discussing this series of the I Am statements of Jesus through the book of John from chapter 1 through to 15. Seven times Jesus calls out that he was a certain thing. I am, message was, I am the true vine. Then we went into, I am the bread of life. And then we had, I am the good shepherd. And this is the fourth week of this series, which is, I am the gate. And every time that Jesus called out an I am statement, it made the religious people really angry. In fact, all the way through the book of John, when you read it, there's multiple times where it says the people tried to kill him. The reason for it, when he called out I am, and he said, I am this or I am that, he actually was declaring that he was God. Imagine a man coming into a religious setting and claiming that he himself was God incarnate. He was God. And he'd been around well and truly before any of the religious leaders and any of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what Jesus did to the Pharisees. And we're going to unpack this today. It actually is the same passage of scripture where Bella drew from last week with I Am the Good Shepherd. And this passage of scripture, which I'm going to read right now, is quite fascinating. And you might get a bit confused, but it's okay. By the end of this message, we hope you have clarity. And my prayer is that you have freedom in understanding truly who Jesus is. Okay, so here we go. John 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, they were the teachers of the day, if you don't know what a Pharisee is. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Anyone remember last week's little video that Bella brought of the shepherd's voice and all the sheep turning their heads and like, yes, and all the false imposters, they didn't get anything. People know the voice of the shepherd. And then it says this, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees, the teachers, they did not understand what he was trying to tell them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, if you just read that and you're a little bit confused, as I said, I'm just going to pray right now that God brings clarity to this scripture today. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals who you are, that we can stand on this word in our lives and know, Jesus, exactly what you were all about. Amen. Well, if you're a bit confused about the I am statement already, you're getting a bit confused, you might be thinking to yourself, hang on, Jesus, didn't you say you were the good shepherd? And in the same passage, you said there's a gate, you're a gate. And hang on, who's the gatekeeper? And it gets a little bit confusing. Like, which one are you? Are you bipolar? Like, have you got like personality disorder here? And in fact, the Pharisees were saying, this guy's a madman. He's mad. What is he talking about? But I want to unpack this because it's really powerful when you go deeper into this. Biblical scholars for hundreds of years have been unpacking this passage. okay? And they've come to a conclusion. I want to bring that clarity around it today. But just to start with, if you're new to church, Jesus often talked in parables, so stories, to teach a lesson. And he also used metaphors about who he was. He wasn't physically saying, I am a gate or a door, all right? It's not like, you know, you walk into church and you go, I think that door just winked at me, all right? You know, it's not, he's not a physical door. But he is sharing the metaphor of what he is like and how he works in the lives of those that follow him. Last week, we got talked about as sheep. We are, if we're a follower of Jesus, we are known as his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. Obviously, we're not real sheep, thankfully. All right, don't start barring on me. Pete, I'm looking at you. All right, so. But we want to look at the context of this passage and open up the truth of what Jesus was trying to say about being the gate, or the same word in the Hebrew is door. Because what he was saying is, I am the gate and the door for you to access eternal life and have life to the full. Who wants a half-baked life? Anyone? Anyone wake up and go, gee, I hope my day is average. Hope I just passed the test. Gosh, that's what I want from, of course not. And Jesus promises life to the full. Maybe your life doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now, and you're missing the fullness that God has for you. By the end of this service, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the fullness that God has for your life. But before we get there, though, we've got to understand the practicality of a door, all right? We all go through doors every day, don't we? Who left their house and locked the door behind them? Great. You walk through a couple of doors as you entered here. You would have had people saying hello at the doors. We go through doors every day on multiple occasions. We go through doors to go to work. We go through doors to go get our groceries, to go to the doctor, to go see a friend. But we rarely go through doors without some permission, right? Or we actually have a reason to go through the door. I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time I entered a door without reason. Has anyone just gone down to the neighbor's house? You don't even know them. Walk through their front door. If you do that, you've got an odd way of making friends. If you're a person that enters someone else's house through their door without their permission, there's a good chance you're a thief. You've got to go through a door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I've got to admit, it's really important. You've got to go through the right doors in your life, okay? You go through the wrong doors, it gets really awkward. You've got to go through the right doors. I actually had an awkward situation when I was 19. Me and my best mate were driving down to Albury Wodonga for a mate's wedding over a weekend. I think we traveled something like 3,000 Ks over a weekend, ultimate road trip. And on the way to this wedding, we stopped in Dubbo. I remember we'd been driving all day. We got to this motel pretty late in the evening. And so we went and got our key, our swipe key from our hotel room, signed in or whatever, went out for dinner. We were out pretty late, came back, everything's, you know, locked up, all the receptions locked up. I remember saying to my mate, Dave, if you're listening, you'll remember this. And so I remember saying, Dave, what's our room number? He goes, I don't know. Didn't write it down. And I'm like, you're joking. And it wasn't on the swipe card. So you got to picture these 18-year-old, 19-year-old lads going up to every door, chink, chink, the red light, you know. And so we're going through this motel and we're like, which room is ours? Chink, and all of a sudden we get to one and it goes, dink, green light. And we're like, yes. And we just bust into this room. We found it. And all of a sudden we hear this voice, who's that? And this woman just screams. And me and my mate just bolt, laughing our heads off, going, that's not our room. And remember, we went out the front, we're calling the after hours, going, we've got someone else's key, and we're not sure. They had to come down, give us the room. Anyway, the point is, you don't want to go through the wrong door. Go through the right door. Wasn't you, was it, Bill? You and Rhonda? I don't know. But the thing is, the point is that Jesus says, he is the gate that we must enter through. He is the gate. And there's three things I want us to unpack today and just get some clarity around with this scripture, because in this passage, there's three people that get mentioned: the gatekeeper, the gate, and the good shepherd, which we unpacked a little bit last week. And it can get a bit confusing about this. We mentioned it before, like, which one is it? Which one are you? How do we get there? But before we get to the gate, I want to touch on the gatekeeper, because it gets mentioned in verse 3. It's the only time that Jesus spoke about the gatekeeper. The idea of the gate and this person that opens the gate makes a way. And it says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know, as I was reading this passage, I was like, Lord, who's the gatekeeper? Who is the gatekeeper? But before I thought of that, like, you know, some things catch my attention in Scripture. This is why I love us to read the Bible, because the Holy Spirit will highlight things to you. Who's been reading John 1 to 15? Has anyone actually read that full passage? You can read it over and over and over, and God will reveal new things time and time again. That's the beauty of the Scripture. You'll always find new things. And as I was reading about the gatekeeper, it just reminded me of my other job that I do in the week. This week, I was out in Roma working in some schools, and I actually got to really experience a lot of sheep out west. I got stuck behind the sheep truck the whole time. I'm thinking about Bella saying, where emotional people, and I'm like, I'm emotional, I need to take over. And so, but as I was out there, I mean, you know, like, I work with these schools all the time, and I've realized something. I deal with gatekeepers all the time. People say, who is the most powerful person in a school community? It's not the principal. It's the gatekeeper, the receptionist, okay? Is there a receptionist, any receptionist in the room here? Okay, you are the most powerful person. You're the gatekeeper. I cold call receptionists all the time. And I know that my time is up with this opportunity when they say, send an email, right? I'm like, I just want to talk to the principal, or I want to talk, let me in, please. But the gatekeeper says, no, you're not getting access to the door. You're not coming in. Very powerful, okay, right? So the thing is, we've got to realize who the gatekeeper is, who provided the gate. Well, for us to understand this, we know this is God the Father. He gave us the gate. He gave us Jesus to access eternal life. We know this because in John 3:16, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Notice how God the Father is the gatekeeper. He made a way. Jesus is the gate. John 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. In this moment, he gets the religious people offside. He actually infuriates them because they thought they were the gate. You come to us to get atonement with God. Bring us a sacrifice. We'll do the work. We'll get you in. Here's some rules. Here's some regulation. Here's the law. We are the gate to religious and righteous freedoms. And Jesus is like, nah, you're not. You're thieves and robbers. Oh, someone said savage. Oh, I love teenagers. Roasted, right? They actually thought they were the doors. They were the doors to God. And Jesus comes, he goes, no, I'm the gate. Verse 9, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not only was Jesus just talking about the Pharisees, he was talking about people within the fold. The fold, those where the sheep stay at night, people kind of getting over the walls. And there's people he was warning us about, even in our own church communities, that come in here and claim they came through Jesus, but they'll start telling you you need to do a bunch of things to get God's love. They'll start telling you, oh, and you've also got to do this, and you've also got to do this. There's all these rules and regulation. That's called religion. And that's what Jesus did not come to bring a religion. He came to give us a way to access the kingdom. He gave us a way to access eternal life as a free gift. This is not about us trying to be good. This is about the free gift that he gives. And he was calling that out. Like a shepherd's job was to keep his sheep safe, well-fed and living in the natural, Jesus' job on earth was to do the same for us, to provide a way for us to experience our life to the full for eternity. Last week, Bella brought some great imagery of what the good shepherd did and what he looked like and how he actually took on the role of the door at night. Remember that? She said that he would lay in the door to make sure nothing would become between him and the sheep. I've actually got a picture here to give you an image of that. So you can actually see him sleeping across this door. He, in this moment, is the physical door, the gate. He is the last thing between himself and the sheep. And Bella so beautifully put it, he had a rod and a staff in his hand, and if a wolf or a beast would come up against him, he would fight to the death to stop death from getting in. There is no way they would get past the shepherd. That's what made him the good shepherd. We read about it, John 10, 11 through 16 last week, where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. If you're wondering who the hired hand was, Jesus was calling out the Pharisees again. You're just getting paid for this job. You're taking a wage, you're doing my work, but at the end of the day, you're going to run away when times get tough. You don't care, but I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd's prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. He will protect you once and for all. He will stop death from coming in. He gives eternal life as the gate of the sheep pen. You know, it's so interesting. The gate of the sheep pen provided two things. It offered an opportunity for the sheep to come in, but also to go out. Provide pasture, but also at night, the gate was to protect and allow the sheep to rest, knowing that they were protected. I actually felt this in the 8, and I feel it again. I just feel like some of you need to hear that God is your protector. He is your gate. And if you know Jesus, you've entered through Jesus, you can sleep at night. You can have rest for your souls. And you can go out and come in and find good pasture without fear. Because that's what he provides. You see, the gate is not just about keeping the sheep in at night. It's keeping robbers out. We lock our doors because we don't want destructive things to come in at night. We shut our doors, stopping those things from the outside from causing destruction for our families and our homes. And what Jesus did, he was the final frontier from stopping death from coming in. Death cannot touch his sheep. We know this because in one of the first weeks of these passages of the I Ams of Jesus, I actually talked about the Pharisees going after Jesus because they didn't know where he came from. He was doing these miracles, yet they thought there's no way he could actually be God. And so they're like, who's your father? Because our forefathers who we follow are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're our forefathers of the faith, the Jewish faith. And Jesus throws back at them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am. And what he's actually calling out in this moment, you can go back and listen to the podcast, is a moment where Moses, hundreds of years prior to him, thousands of years prior to Jesus, Moses was out in the desert and he saw a burning bush. And the burning bush spoke to Moses. Moses went and had a look at it, and the burning bush said, go to Egypt and set my people free. The Israelites, 2 million of them in slavery. And Abraham threw it back to God. He said, who do I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am. I am sent you. I am who I am. So when Jesus gets on his sort of just moment where he goes, before Abraham, I am, that's when they went, you're claiming to be God. You're claiming you were around before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You were there before that? That's insane. Well, it's not. In fact, we're going to see Jesus in the Old Testament in this time. Let's go to Exodus. We're going to see Jesus being the gate in Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 5, it says this. And by the way, the setup of this is that we know the story of Moses. He goes to the Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. You know, the old cartoon and the old story. And so, and they say, and the Pharaoh keeps saying no. And it gets to the final test where Moses says, God says to Moses, I'm actually going to kill the firstborn of every family in Egypt. Everyone, firstborn. I'm going to kill them. The angel of death is going to come tonight. It's going to pass over every home. And I'm going to kill the firstborn, not only just humans, but also animals, everything. Firstborn, they're gone. But he tells Moses to tell the Israelites to do something to protect them from the angel of death. He says this, the animals you choose must be a year old and without defect, and you must take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they had to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Do you see it? I'll show you a picture here. The blood on the doors of the lamb, an unblemished lamb. Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. In this moment when the angel of death came, it says, no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Nothing destructive. Death will not touch you. It cannot touch you. Why? Because Jesus is the door. Standing. This is a reflection of what's to come. And Jesus is showing them. He's like, I am the gate. When you enter through me, once you're inside, nothing can touch you. Because of my blood, I will stand and the door will be shut on death. Eternal life can be yours. You see, when we talked about it, what was he? The gate or the door? Or was he the good shepherd? Or was he? He's both. Many scholars believe, and they agree on, Jesus being the gate is Christ crucified. The gate is Christ crucified. Because of Christ crucified, we can come to God freely, entering in to a place of safety, a place of rest, eternal life, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his blood shed in that doorway. The good shepherd is Jesus resurrected. 3 days later, we know that it's Jesus resurrected because after he was resurrected, he gave us access to the Holy Spirit who would speak to us and we could hear his voice. John 10, 27 to 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Can you see it? In this little moment, we see that the gatekeeper, the gate, and the good shepherd are all working together for us, his sheep. Us, his sheep, to give us eternal life. The truth is, there are many gates that people try and access for their spiritual life. But there is no other gate that can give eternal life. You might have looked into other religions. You might have actually gone down a track where you've kind of looked into things you've been seeking and you're trying to figure this out. And it sort of left you feeling confused and almost dead. You may have experienced a lot of pain because of the gates that you've entered. You see, Jesus knew wholeheartedly. He knew that people were trying to enter through other gates in Israel. In Jerusalem, it was a melting pot of spirituality and teachings and ideas. And Jesus is like, you got to go through me. If you want to experience life and life to the full, you have to go through me. I am the gate. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 7:13 talks about him being the truth and how to access eternal life, entering through the narrow gate. The narrow gate being him. It says this in Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow that the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus gets it. He's calling people back from the confusion of this spirituality back to, I am the answer. You cannot gain access by your works or your deeds. It's only through my blood, as I am the door, the gate to heaven and eternal life. So maybe you're here today and going, well, how do I get to the gate? How do I get to the door? I was thinking about that movie, The Truman Show, this week. Now, his whole life, he's trying to figure out what's going on here. And then he finally gets to the end of this sort of sea that's made up. And then there's a door and he enters the door and everything makes sense. I hope that you find the door that is Jesus today. Because there is so much to your life beyond what you see and know. You're a spirit and a soul, and you're trying to figure out what it's supposed to do. It is supposed to access Jesus to find eternal life. He is the gate. It's as simple as seeking Jesus, asking Jesus into your life, saying, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Luke 11:9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks, the door, being Jesus, will be opened. Seek Jesus. Ask Jesus into your life. Keep knocking on the door. Keep going after him. Keep learning about him. Keep reading your Bible. Allow the words of the pages of the scripture be revealed to you through his Holy Spirit. Keep praying to him. Keep listening until you hear his voice. You know, it's so fascinating. I think so often in our life, we think we've knocked and God didn't answer, so therefore the door is shut. But I love that before Jesus talks about asking and receiving, seek and finding, and he actually tells a little story. And the story goes in Luke 11:5-8, he says, Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer them. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, says Jesus, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying this. God, honestly, saying this to Elevation Church. Church, you've knocked once and you thought, well, he never answered me. But he's like, I need shameless audacity out of you. I'm going to keep knocking until you show up. Not because of a friendship, because you just didn't stop. Goes the same with praying for those that need healing. I'm not going to stop until God says, okay, because of your shameless audacity going after me, I'm going to open the door that you need. When you want to enter the gate that is Jesus, you need shameless audacity to pursue Jesus and keep knocking. If you haven't figured it all out yet, that's okay. We're on a journey. Keep seeking. You will find. He is the gate. He's made a way for all of us. And it's a free gift. You don't have to rock up to the gate of Jesus and say, oh, I did some good stuff today. I didn't swear at someone today. Jesus, I didn't kill anyone today. Hopefully you don't kill anyone anyway. But the point is, you don't have to rock up with your goodness. You just have to rock up and knock. That's what Jesus did for us. He made a way on the cross. He bled and died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And in that moment on the cross, he made access to heaven and an eternal life, a life that is abundant. A life that is opportunity. It's your opportunity to have a life to the full. When you choose to go into the sheep pen that the good shepherd looks after, death can no longer touch you. You are eternally alive. So we bow our heads right now and ask you a question. Have you entered through the gate that is Jesus? Died on the cross for you. A perfect man without sin, without blemish, like the perfect lamb that was sacrificed at that Passover, without blemish, without sin. His blood shed so that death can't get in. You can enter that gate today freely. You can say, Jesus, I need you. Maybe you've been knocking on a whole bunch of other gates and you've just been like going, oh my gosh, this is leading to so much destruction. Maybe you've been knocking on gates of relationships that have gone pear-shaped, or the gates that you're going after. You're like, oh, maybe if I knock on this gate of finance, if I just become wealthy and I have all the money in the world, then I'll somehow find what life is all about. Maybe you've found it in a whole bunch of other areas, but I want you to know this. The only gate you need to enter through is Jesus. He will give you everything you need. Every answer you're looking for is found in the gate of Jesus. And all you have to do is just accept who he is. Believe and you will be saved. Believe that Jesus is who he said he was. If you're here today and go, I need Jesus the gate. I'm leaving all the other stuff, the wide road, the wide gate, and I'm looking at the narrow gate, and I'm just going to go after Jesus today. I want Jesus. I want to be able to enter through you, Jesus. I want to know that I can rest in you. I want to be able to come in and go out and find good pasture because I know that you look out for me, the good shepherd. If that's you today, I'd love to be able to pray with you and pray that God would meet you where you're at and open the gate for you. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand across this room. Yep, I see that hand. That's amazing. Yeah, I see that hand over there, mate. I see you over there. It's incredible. Anyone else? Just raise your hands really high. I've seen your hand. Yeah, that's so good. You know what? God, I thank you for you, Jesus, as the gate. I thank you. You give us access to every good thing. Not what we do, but what you did on the cross. God, we thank you for that free access. God, I pray right now for those that have stepped out and said, from now on, I choose the narrow gate to choose to follow you, Jesus. That nothing can come against me because I know that you stand at the door and protect me in my daily life. God, I thank you for the eternal life that you give. I pray a blessing over this. Step out to follow you. Step into your pen. Step into your ways, leaving the old gates behind, letting go of the things that were a distraction, just focusing on you and you alone. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.